يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَدْخُلُوا بُيُوتًا غَيْرَ بُيُوتِكُمْ حَتَّى تَسْتَأْنِسُوا وَتُسَلِّمُوا عَلَى أَهْلِهَا ذَلِكُمْ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ.
Believers, enter not houses other than your own houses, until you have obtained the permission of the inmates of those houses and have greeted them with peace. This is better for you. It is expected that you will observe this. Believers, the injunctions at the beginning of the surah were meant to eradicate an evil if it raised its head in society. The commands now being given are of a fundamental nature, meant to prevent the rise of evils by rooting out their causes through a process of social reform and regulation of day-to-day conduct.
فَإِن لَّمْ تَجِدُوا فِيهَا أَحَدًا فَلَا تَدْخُلُوهَا حَتَّى يُؤْذَنَ لَكُمْ وَإِن قِيلَ لَكُمْ ارْجِعُوا فَارْجِعُوا هُوَ أَزْكَى لَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ عَلِيمٌ.
Then, if you find no one in them, do not enter until you have been given permission to enter. And if you are told to go back, then do go back. This is a purer way for you. Allah knows all what you do. Do not enter until you have been given permission to enter.
It is not permissible to enter someone's house unless the master of the house has granted prior permission to do so. It would be proper, however, for a visitor to enter a house if the master of the house were absent, providing such permission had been granted. Nevertheless, it would not be proper for a visitor to enter a house without obtaining due permission from the master.
Allah knows all what you do.
A person should not feel offended if someone declines to meet him, for a person is perfectly within his rights to decline meeting someone or to excuse himself from such a meeting if he is preoccupied with something else.
لَيْسَ عَلَيْكُمْ جُنَاحٌ أَن تَدْخُلُوا بُيُوتًا غَيْرَ مَسْكُونَةٍ فِيهَا مَتَاعٌ لَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ مَا تُبْدُونَ وَمَا تَكْتُمُونَ.
However, it is not blameworthy for you if you enter houses that are uninhabited, but wherein there is something of use to you. Allah is well aware of what you disclose and what you conceal, but wherein there is something of use to you.
This refers to public places such as hotels, guest houses, shops, and other places which everyone is entitled to enter without obtaining any specific permission to do so.
قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ ذَلِكَ أَزْكَى لَهُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا يَصْنَعُونَ.
O Prophet, enjoin believing men to cast down their looks and guard their private parts. That is purer for them. Surely, Allah is well aware of all what they do. Enjoin believing men to cast down their looks.
The words used here are يَغُدُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. Literally, the word غَد denotes reducing or lowering something. The words غَد الْبَصَر, therefore, are usually translated as lowering one's gaze or keeping one's gaze downwards. This Quranic directive does not mean, however, that one should always gaze quite literally downwards. What it really means is that one should not look thoroughly at a certain thing, that one should not allow one's eyes to be unfettered in looking. In other words, one should avoid looking at things which it is improper to look at. This may be achieved either by avoiding looking at something by turning one's gaze away or by lowering it. Once again, the words min absarihim signify that some rather than every kind of looking needs to be avoided. It becomes evident from the context that this directive is addressed to those men who focus their gaze on women, or who cast their glances at others' private parts, or who intentionally look at obscene objects.
وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغْضُضْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنَّ وَيَحْفَظْنَ فُرُوجَهُنَّ وَلَا يُبْدِينَ زِينَتَهُنَّ إِلَّا مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا وَلْيَضْرِبْنَ بِخُمُرِهِنَّ عَلَى جُيُوبِهِنَّ ولا يبدين زينتهن إلا لبعولتهن أو آبائهن أو آباء بعولتهن أو أبنائهن أو أبنائهن أو أبناء بعولتهن أو إخوانهن أو بني إخوانهن أو بني أخواتهن أو نسائهن أو ما ملكت أيمانهن أو التابعين غير أولي الإربة من الرجال أو الطفل الذين لم يظهروا على عورات النساء ولا يضربن بأرجلهن ليعلم ما يخفين من زينتهن وتوبوا إلى الله جميعا أيها المؤمنون لعلكم تفلحون.
And enjoin believing women to cast down their looks and guard their private parts, and not reveal their ornament except that which is revealed of itself, and to draw their veils over their bosoms, and not to reveal their adornment save to their husbands or their fathers, or the fathers of their husbands, or of their own sons, or the sons of their husbands, or their brothers, or the sons of their brothers, or the sons of their sisters, or the women with whom they associate, or those that are in their bondage, or the male attendants in their service free of sexual interest, or boys that are yet unaware of illicit matters pertaining to women. Nor should they stamp their feet on the ground in such manner that their hidden adornment becomes revealed. Believers, turn together, all of you, to Allah in repentance, that you may attain true success. And enjoin believing women to cast down their looks and guard their private parts.
It should be noted that the demands that the divine law makes on women, as mentioned in this verse, are not just what is expected of men. For instance, avoiding to look at what is improper, to look at and guarding one's private parts. It also demands of women more than what it requires men to do. This clearly shows that women are not equated with men as far as this matter is concerned.
Save to their husbands or their fathers, or the fathers of their husbands.
The word Aba used in this verse covers one's father, both maternal and paternal grandfathers, and great-grandfathers. A woman may, therefore, appear before these elders of either her own family or of her husband's family in the same manner as she may appear before both her father and father-in-law.
Or of their own sons, or the sons of their husbands.
The word Abna Ihinna,
their sons, covers, apart from their own sons, their grandsons and great-grandsons, for instance, those born both of one's sons and daughters. Furthermore, no distinction is made between one's own sons and one's stepsons. A woman may appear freely before the children of her stepsons, as she may appear before her own children and grandchildren.
Or their brothers.
Brothers here covers both real and stepbrothers.
Or the sons of their brothers, or the sons of their sisters.
This refers to a woman's nieces and nephews, whether they are born of her brother or sister, and whether those brothers and sisters are real or are stepbrothers and stepsisters.
Or the women with whom they associate.
This by itself shows that a Muslim woman should not display her attractions before immoral and immodest women.
Or those that are in their bondage, or the male attendants in their service free of sexual interest.
That is, as they were in a state of subservience, there is no room to suspect that they would dare harbor evil designs regarding the women of the household.
وَأَنْكِحُوا الْأَيَامَى مِنْكُمْ وَالصَّالِحِينَ مِنْ عِبَادِكُمْ وَإِمَائِكُمْ إِنْ يَكُونُوا فُقَرَاءَ يُغْنِهِمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ وَاللَّهُ وَاسِعٌ عَلِيمٌ.
Marry those of you that are single, whether men or women, and those of your male and female slaves that are righteous. If they are poor, Allah will enrich them out of His bounty. Allah is immensely resourceful, all-knowing.
وَلْيَسْتَعْفِفِ الَّذِينَ لَا يَجِدُونَ نِكَاحًا حَتَّى يُغْنِيَهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ وَالَّذِينَ يَبْتَغُونَ الْكِتَابَ مِمَّا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ فَكَاتِبُوهُمْ إِنْ عَلِمْتُمْ فِيهِمْ خَيْرًا وَآتُوهُمْ مِمَّا لِلَّهِ الَّذِي آتاكم ولا تكرهوا فتياتكم على البغاء إن أردنا تحصنا لتبتغوا عرض الحياة الدنيا ومن يكرهن فإن الله من بعد إكراههن غفور رحيم.
Let those who cannot afford to marry keep themselves chaste until Allah enriches them out of His bounty. And write out a deed of manumission for such of your slaves that desire their freedom in lieu of payment, if you see any good in them, and give them out of the wealth that Allah has given you. And do not compel your slave girls to prostitution for the sake of the benefits of worldly life, the while they desire to remain chaste. And if anyone compels them to prostitution, Allah will be most pardoning, much merciful to them after their subjection to such compulsion. And write out a deed of manumission for such of your slaves that desire their freedom in lieu of payment.
When a slave, whether male or female, asks his or her master to enter into a manumission agreement and the master accepts the offer, the terms of the agreement should be recorded.
If you see any good in them,
goodness here embraces the following 2 points. First, that the slave should have the ability to pay the amount required for his manumission by his earnings. Second, that the slave should be known for his honesty and trustworthiness so that an agreement might be made with him.
And give them out of the wealth that Allah has given you.
The masters are directed to remit at least a part of the amount which the slaves are required to pay according to the manumission agreement. Muslims in general are also directed that they should generously help those who ask them for money required for their manumission. A part of the zakah in the public treasury should be spent on assisting the slaves who have entered into manumission agreements so that they might become free.
And do not compel your slave girls to prostitution.
In the pre-Islamic days of ignorance, the Arabs would force their slave girls into prostitution and take their earnings. Islam prohibited prostitution in absolute terms.
For the sake of the benefits of worldly life, the while they desired to remain chaste.
If a slave girl indulges in prostitution of her own accord, she will herself be responsible for her actions. The law will take its course and she will be brought to book. However, if her master compels her into prostitution, it is the master who will be held accountable.
وَلَقَدْ أَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكُمْ آيَاتٍ مُبَيِّنَاتٍ وَمَثَلًا مِنَ الَّذِينَ خَلَوْا مِن قَبْلِكُمْ وَمَوْعِظَةً لِلْمُتَّقِينَ.
Verily, we have sent down for you revelations which clearly expound true guidance and examples of those who passed away before you, and an admonition for those who fear Allah.